Advisory Committee for May the 13th. Time now is 5:30 p.m. Will you please stand for the pledge? Stand in the corner. Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America. To the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, item number, roll call, please.
Chairman Hurley, Vice Chair Giraulo, Committee Member Bingham, present, Committee Member Stephanie Capetta, Committee Member Jules Kwiatkowski,
present,
Committee Member Eleanor Milburg,
present,
Committee Member Robert Witte,
present.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Everybody got a chance to read their minutes? Any corrections or deletions, additions, rather? All those in favor? Signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So be it. Okay. Item CD. Discussion by the Parks and Recreation Director on matters not on an agenda.
All right, well, quickly, we briefly talked about Holland Park. I'll give you a brief update. They have started construction. It is underway. A lot of the infrastructure work being done now, so, you know, we won't actually see the actual pretty stuff until I think a few more months before they have that ready to go to actually construct the new areas in the park, but it is moving along according to schedule. The upcoming programs right now, basically we're getting ready for summer stuff happening in the city, primarily the pool and our summer camp. The pool opened April 13th for the season. We'll open full-time, meaning 7 days a week, starting Memorial Day weekend, and then through Labor Day weekend, we'll be open 7 days, Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 7:30, Saturday, Sunday, 12 to 6. We'll have a variety of swim lessons, instruction programs, special events, and activities for families, kids, adults at that facility during that time. Really recommend looking at our website for detailed information on that. We'll also start summer camp once school ends, so June 8th we begin. We end August 9th, I believe it is, or 7th. First Friday in August is when we'll be done with camp. It's 9 weeks. We have a variety of specialty camps in addition to our regular Fit and Fun camp, which is our all-day camp. The specialty camps are typically a half day, and then we offer an half-day afternoon camp for those who need a full day of care but they want to participate in one of our specialty camps. We'll have that going then. We also will continue some of our ongoing programs, such as our Senior Game Day here on Thursdays, our Woodcarvers program on Tuesdays, and we'll have a variety of special events happening over the summer as well, with our Movies in the Park, Dive-In Movies, July 3rd fireworks that are coming up, the memorial ceremonies on Memorial Day itself, and July 4th ceremony, a variety of programs or events for July, which is July is Parks and Rec Month. We do a celebration every year and try to host a bunch of different activities during that month to encourage people to go to our different facilities. What other special events? I think that's really it. We'll have more events really at the pool. We'll do a lot of special days at the pool. We call them Pack the Pool Days, where we'll offer half-price admission or free admission. You know, like on Memorial Day, Monday, we'll have free admission to those in the military with their ID. So if they show us their ID, retired, current, you know, active service, we'll let them in for free. Any other than that, that, you know, people will pay regular admission. Or we'll have a special day like our social media day, where if you like us on Facebook, we can verify it on Facebook, you'll get half-price admission that day. So we do a lot of specials like that to encourage people to come to the pool. Pickleball will start up again probably in about 3 weeks. Yesterday, we closed the courts, the tennis courts at Belterre Park for resurfacing, restriping. They'll be closed about 3 weeks, assuming we don't have rain that delays the project. And then once we reopen, the courts will be restriped with the tennis lines, but then we also are painting shadow lines with pickleball, and then for U10 tennis in the center court, so we could do actually a under 10 instructional tennis program at Belterre. And then Holland Park, once it reopens, will be striped the same way, so we'll have two locations where we could do pickleball and instructional tennis programs for kids on courts that are sized for kids, which is great for the kids. So that's pretty much, I think, everything we have happening.
On Ralph Carter Park, mm-hmm. they have a lot of problems down there.
No.
Can you explain the
problems? Yes. The problems aren't necessarily the park. The problems are really isolated to Richardson Drive and the neighbors there that border the park. I guess from what I can understand, kids are going down Richardson Drive and coming through, I don't know if it's individuals, private lots, or public access areas, and climbing over a fence that the neighbors wanted to keep kids from going from Richardson Drive into the park. Well, now the kids are climbing over the fence, and that has become the problem. So the problem isn't necessarily the park, and we don't have problems in the park. It's the kids trying to access the park from Richardson Drive, which the kids and the neighbors have been in conflict.
No vandalism?
No. No. Other than them climbing over the fence, there's been no vandalism in the park at all, and to my knowledge, no incidents or anything like that. In fact, we have such heavy use down there that we are actually closing the fields over the summer just because they have gotten so beat up with the groups that are using that location for soccer and flag football and cheerleading and everything else that we have going on down there. So it's a very active park, actually, and a very used park now, so which is a good thing.
Indian Sports Complex mm-hmm. very, very busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a time of year.
That's what I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
Lights were on at 3 in the morning.
Do you know when, Jules? Because we were having issues with the company. Do you know when that was?
Yeah, one of my neighbors told me, and then I seen him.
Okay.
Later at night, when I was going by, they were on like 9, 10, and 11.
Now, was it about a week ago or less than a week ago?
About a week ago.
Okay, because we were having issues. We called the company, and the computer wasn't talking to the lights, so it wasn't activating the turn off at the time that we set it for. It's supposed to be fixed. So if you see it again, call me right away and let me know, because then there's a problem with the connection and we need to make sure, because the last thing we want to do is not be good neighbors. And we want to really make sure that we, at 10 o'clock, and, you know, unless there's a special activity up there, 10 o'clock, those lights are supposed to be off. So if you notice that, please, you know, make sure you call me the next day.
Okay.
And let me know, and we'll get them out there to look at it right away.
I will.
Even if it's on the weekend, call me, okay?
Okay.
Yes, Eleanor?
I may be jumping ahead, but an old business. Obviously, we all know about the new shopping park. And I was wondering if the owners or the managers have already been approached to being good neighbors and permitting us to have the activities such as the egg hunt and traditionally, I don't know if we were involved in the art show, but mm-hmm. I think we were. And I wondered if it is a little premature, or is there going to be a liaison who will talk with them about the traditions of that, the role of that
over here?
The new one. That's right. The new one. I keep going by it.
Island Walk.
Yes.
Island Walk. The new name.
But in just speaking and looking at it, certainly Publix is is a dominant building at the moment, and I just wondered if it would be a good idea if somebody, or if they've already in their contract specified that they would negotiate with activities within the town that have used it, or is that premature?
Well, I don't know. I can't say for sure we did or we didn't. I know that I did not, you know, and we have not used that location ourselves for any community events that we hosted. I think the, like the business association over there had done the holiday tree lighting. That was not a city event. And I'm not sure.
The Easter egg hunt.
We do that at a different location. I don't know if they've done one there before, Eleanor. I don't remember. They have
years
Claudia
ago.
Years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
yeah. And
it's you know.
Typically, the business association of the complex would usually organize something like that. I think, though, if we wanted to look at hosting an event there, we would approach the management company and ask them, you know, this is what we're thinking, kind of like what we did at European Village when we did the concerts there, that we would go to the management company when we have an idea and say, here's what we're thinking of doing. Are you interested in, you know, partnering with this event? And you know, whenever we've approached European Village, they were always real receptive to it. So I think we would have the same thing. And I honestly think, you know, it's really going to depend, too, upon how everything's laid out, you know, with parking and everything. And I'm not sure I can envision that yet. I mean, I see it on the plans, but I have to see it built before, you know, to really see it, you know, and for it to kind of stick in my head and say, okay, yeah, I think this is how we can make it work. So, you know, we haven't talked to them yet, but I think if we have opportunities, we would definitely reach out to them.
I don't know. I've only seen the size of the public.
Right, yeah.
Which
exactly.
is pretty imposing at
yeah,
this point
right.
in time. And I just wondered if there was a public relations move to make it integrated.
I think, you know, like I said, if there's opportunities, we would definitely approach the management company and talk to them about it, as we've done in the past. So, you know, everybody has been pretty receptive of it. I think it just would depend on, you know, if we're going to ask for, you know, Saturday at, you know, 10 o'clock, in front of Publix, I think they'd say, I don't think so. But, you know, a Thursday evening might be a perfect time to do something there. So, or any time after 5 o'clock, you know. So I think we could work something out when we need to. So, and we'll definitely pursue that, you know, when we see the opportunities. Yeah, absolutely. So.
Committee members, any questions for Luann? Any items?
Question I have, I'll ask her after the meeting. It has to do with swimming pool and
okay.
That does need to be discussed here.
Okay.
Item number B is a report on committee members on events or programs attended. Did anybody attend any programs? Okay, can you tell us?
I attended two, and actually I wrote some things down. I went to pickleball, and it looks like a lot of fun, and everybody was having a good time, and the staff person was nice.
What is that?
Pickleball is, it's like tennis, only you play with a paddle, and you play with a wiffle ball.
Okay.
And I played for a while, and it was really very nice. I have a friend in Tallahassee who absolutely loves it, and I couldn't wait to see it. My own personal concern is, I can't do it in the summer. It's just going to be too hot out there for me, and I don't know if there's any courts available indoors or if that's ever been done in Palm Coast to have something indoors in the summer.
I saw in the paper that somebody's got a permit to build the pickleboard court, but I don't know where it is.
Grand Haven, I think, is putting in a pickleball.
Outside, though.
Yeah, right. The only place that we could possibly do indoor, well, For, let me tell you, for pickleball for the summer, we feel the same way. We're not going to do pickleball at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because it's just absolutely too hot.
Yeah.
So we'll still do the Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 to get hopefully that cooler time in the evening, and then Friday mornings from 11 to 1. So it won't be the heat of the day, and hopefully we'll still get some people out there who want to play.
Yeah.
But we don't have an indoor location. I know that down, I think the YMCA in Ormond Beach does indoor pickleball in their gymnasium. So if you're interested in something like that, you know, that I think they have a regular ongoing program indoors. Because I know that, I think with their senior games, that's where they do their pickleball. So, not that I want you to stay down there, but just for the summer.
No, no, I mean, you know, and a lot of people want to be in the heat. I'm just at 70. I don't particularly like to go running around. Pickleball. Well, you know, like it's just too much for me. Yeah. And I also want, I'm looking for something
just
here.
Just so you'll know, Hammock Dunes is also putting in pickleball courts.
Oh, okay. Now, is it them or is it?
Grand Haven and
both of them. Okay.
In fact, my community, Rivergate, we're looking to stripe our parking lot, and maybe in the summertime, 6 to 8 would be the ideal time, maybe 2 or 3 days a week.
Oh, cool. And where's that?
Rivergate. It's off of Rimfire.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Rivergate community.
Okay. Okay.
We can get a portable net and set it up. So that's what we're looking to do. Yep.
So that's it. So then that's the answer for me. That would be great. The other thing I went to is Botanical Gardens, and I wrote some things down, and I can't find that. I put page 2 on both sides, so that doesn't work because I can't find page 1. But anyway, Botanical Gardens was really fun, really great. The bus was great. Going there was nice. The only thing, suggestions I think I had was I would have liked some kind of notification the day before. One, because I had never done anything before, is the bus safe to leave things in? Like, I didn't know whether to bring extra stuff with me, like my iPad or something. And is the bus safe? Also, some suggestions about what to bring, like maybe a sweater for the bus and a not. And then the other thing is I did not know what to expect about lunch. In other words, I would have liked a schedule. I didn't have a schedule about all that. And then we did pay for our own lunch, and it was a very nice lunch. It was just I went there kind of like not knowing what was going to happen to me.
Okay.
And then the other thing, which is probably very small, but when we got there, we all got online, and we got in the bus, and then we were asked to move our cars because there was going to be a meeting in here. So if we had been notified ahead of time, we certainly would have been happy. But once we were settled on the bus, we weren't going to do that.
Right.
So it was a great experience. I can't wait to go on more like it. It was just really good.
Okay. Any other questions? When the committees attend these events, do they have a badge or something to say that they're from Leisure Services?
I don't think y'all got when you... IDs, no. You just go and attend like a regular person, you know, I mean, like an attendee. It's, you know, the only thing is if you go to not a city-sponsored event and there's a fee, you have to pay the fee. I mean, you still have to pay the fee even if it's a city event.
Oh, yeah, the Botanical Gardens was like $35.
Yeah,
I would have gone.
Yeah.
I was going to go anyway, actually.
Yeah, so that, you know, it's whatever fees are there, Jules, you have to pay whatever the fees are, you know, so...
Okay. I did not attend any of those events. If any of you went to American Cancer Relay for Life, that was a very moving event 2 weeks ago at City Park.
Yeah, I attended. My wife attended one about 3 years ago. It was an experience. Something to look for. Okay, on item number F, old business, culture grants. Luann, can you give us some information on that, what we're doing?
Well, you guys should have gotten the application, and you were to review it for tonight to make any suggestions for changes to the application process for the upcoming season for the cultural arts grants. Also, we're going to look at schedule as far as, you know, when the training session will be, which is typically in July, when the grants will be due, and then, you know, that timeline as well. So you had homework, so hopefully everybody reviewed it and has some comments or suggestions as far as the application and everything is concerned.
I personally didn't. Nothing jumped out at me.
And just to give everybody a little history, this has been an ongoing funding program for, probably since the inception of the city being a city, so 2000 probably was the first grant period. So, and the number of groups that submit each year has varied. You know, we average probably about 10, 11 applications each cycle that we do. This year, with the two cycles that we had, we funded 10 different organizations. The role of the Leisure Services Advisory Committee in this process is really just to determine eligibility based on the guidelines that we have developed. And the guidelines have changed, you know, probably most significantly over the past 3-4 years, where we've made the most changes to the guidelines, tried to simplify the application, but then also to ask more relevant information about the actual event that they're conducting or that they're submitting for funding, so that you guys can really, and you're not here to determine the worthiness of the event itself, it's just whether it meets the criteria that has been established. So that's really it in a nutshell. I think we have simplified the process as far as, you know, we used to have a new program, an ongoing program, and we've kind of cut that out and just made it, this is what it is, it's just a program, really doesn't matter, and this is the maximum grant amount, and there is a matching portion by each of the organizations. The max they can get is $3,000, and that is a 80% of the total cost of their event, so they do have to have some financial obligation to the activity as well. So.
I think that, I remember the old one.
Yes.
I went over to this one, and I think that people who worked on it intensively, I remember we were concerned that the old one, in attempting to be very complete, became very complete and possibly threatening. Mm-hmm. Because the people who make these out, a couple of people had spoken afterwards, the people who make these out are not typically accountants of large corporations, and I think there was some discussion that we had noticed that we seemed to get fewer people who felt comfortable about it. I thought this was a very comfortable application. I didn't see anything, and I was looking for things that I thought might concern people, and I don't know if we had, it's a new group, et cetera, but I didn't see anything in the new group. I noticed there were just a few that I received, but I don't think that there was any reasonably sophisticated person who's active in an activity would find it difficult to answer. But we did have a kind of workshop with Mary, who's not here, so that anybody who ran into any difficulty would have someone available, and they were pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it was worth all the time.
Yeah. And we tried to, just so everybody's aware too, we tried to really make the application more of what they would see, they being the organizations who were submitting, more of what they would see if they were going to other funding sources so that they could use some of what they would write for our application for other applications. So it wouldn't be a duplication necessarily of, or looking at a totally different type of an application. The biggest challenge that we hear from those who are submitting the grant is with the budget page. And I think it's just the way that it's structured. I think we could clear it up basically with the titles at the top and make it more easily understandable as far as what we were looking for. And you know, so that is one change we definitely want to look at is that budget page. And probably what I'll do, too, if everybody is okay, is I'll talk to Mary because she actually is in the granting world and just ask her how we might be better able to clarify the columns because that seems to be the biggest challenge that we see with most of the grant applications.
Okay.
Other comments? Anybody else have any suggestions, changes, recommendations for the application itself or the guidelines? No? Okay, then we will continue as is. You know, like I said, we'll just kind of clarify better the columns for the budget page, hopefully to make it better, have a better understanding for those that are filling it out. I will email you all the timeline for when the training session will be, which will be in July. Mary has agreed to already to lead that training session. What we do is we will invite all the organizations that have ever submitted an application to us. We will invite all the cultural organizations in the community as well, and then any other nonprofit groups that we have information on, we'll send it all to them also. If you have a group that you know of that you just want to make sure we have the contact information, please let Claudia know, and we'll add them to our distribution list because we want to make sure as many people in the community who are providing cultural arts opportunities have the information available to them so that if they have a program they want to submit for funding, that we're reaching everybody that we can reach. We will also put an article out in the paper as well just to let people know, you know, when the training is and that the grant program will be opening. Typically, the applications will become available in July. The deadline will be the end of August, and you guys will do the review and determine eligibility in September. It will go to City Council after the October 1 beginning of the fiscal year, and then, you know, the funding would be, go through that formal process for approval in October. So that's the general timeline, but we'll get specific dates for everybody.
Okay. Item G is new business, discovering Palm Coast, enhancing access to information about leisure service activities in Palm Coast. Luann, you want to handle that again?
I asked about that on the agenda, and I'm a little reticent to actually bring it up. We were anxious about it, but I thought I'd go for it.
Sure.
And the way I wanted to start is by saying that there was an article written by Tony Holt about me about 2 years ago. Seniors Make Social Scene in Palm Coast. And it's not a great article because I didn't write it. It was written about me. But I thought I'd introduce the topic by just going over some things I highlighted. The city's range of activities seems to be satisfying a lot of people. Well, that was a response, and my question in my mind is, how do we know? I don't know if the survey's ever been done. I know surveys are expensive or what to do, but it's a statement that says, are satisfying people. And then there's something in here about someone had said that there have been concerted efforts to turn this community center into at least a part-time senior facility. But the interest hasn't always been there, and we couldn't get the attendance. And that's where I come up with, if you don't know about it, you can't come. And so that's kind of where I am. There is a statement that says there is bingo everywhere. There's mahjong, and groups are cropping up everywhere. If it's dinner and dancing singles and couples want, they go to the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post, etc.
There was another comment, the clubs have certainly provided a source of variety. Golfers young and old have choices in Palm Coast. There is a glut of social clubs that provide mostly everything seniors want. And then another comment that said, I think a lot of it is because the people in the community are so active and they know where to go for the kind of entertainment. That's my major focus. And there's another statement that says, I said that I see apathy, and I don't believe that there's apathy. I personally believe that there's people have resigned themselves. Now, maybe that's my perceptive, but that people want to do things, but they give up because they don't know how to get it done. I know that's true in my condominium. I don't know if that's true here. I'm asking the question about, do we have things people want? And it said, someone else said something. Someone once told me, if you don't have anything to do in Palm Coast, you're not looking hard enough. Well, that's another piece of what I want to talk about. He suggested a better calendar system for the public, one that could be available online or perhaps be used posted strategically around town. And we try to advertise using as many resources as we can. We try to listen the best we can. So, I read this over because I'm churning about something. And what I'm churning about is how I do things. I get the Observer, the Penny Saver. I get the newspaper. I get the Natural Weight News. I get all of that. I went to all the websites, lovely websites, all kinds of stuff on it. But for me, I cut out things and stick them on my bulletin board, and there's something going on over here, and then this paper says that, and this says that. And you have to really be looking very hard to be going through websites and everything. And as I said, I don't know if it's apathy. I just think it's resignation. It's just too darn hard, because I'm usually pretty proactive about that. So I have a vision about how I would like things to do. And there's something else, too, which is if I want to go to Zumba, I want a website that says Zumba. Everybody that sponsors Zumba, a contact number and a website. Just that. Clear, in a chart, just that. I don't want to have to read through websites. They're beautiful websites. Palm Coast, you have a beautiful, nice one that goes up and down. We did that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what I want to do. If I want to go to bingo, I want to know where all the bingo is. And I want to look at bingo, and I want to see where do I go, what time do they meet, where, you know. So my idea was to create a website where things were listed by activity, organizations. I want to go to a book club. Where do I find out about book clubs? And that if we could create a centralized, simple website where people could, churches, government activities, all leisure activities, whatever people had, that people who have, now there's two questions there, how many people have a computer, that's the first thing, and then also it was mentioned here about having a calendar, and it would be a huge calendar. I also did some research about how many households are there in Palm Coast? Households.
I don't think I can answer that right now. I can get that info for you, but I don't think I could even have a guess at it.
Yeah, I could get it.
Okay, well, yeah. I just wanted to have an idea because I can't see numbers.
Right.
So I checked and I found out the News Journal delivers residents in RAC on Sundays, 10,107 in Flagler County, and in Palm Coast, 4,860. So that's those people that, and people are not even reading newspapers anymore. Newspapers are one resource. Then I talked to the Palm Coast Observer. They have 30,000 currently. Well, I live in the Fairways condominium, and we have 200 units. And the paper comes out on Wednesday. I go on Thursday. I go to my card club Thursday night, and they're gone. Mm-hmm. And not only that, people tell me that they're gone in the morning. So I talked to the distributor over there, and he said, well, I'm going to move it up to 60, but you can get it in over here, here, and here. And I don't know about you, and I certainly don't know about a lot of old folks who don't like to drive, but I don't really want to go out looking for the Observer. I want it. And it, what they said is that the Observer is delivered to certain people who had to have a driveway. Mm-hmm. And that he said what he saw as a problem. He said he would deliver 60 to the Fairways condominium. It's still 200 units. Mm-hmm. He said he'd deliver 60. I haven't seen it yet. But he says the Palm Coast Observer will not make more papers. It's just as simple as that. There's just not enough to distribute. So there's 30,000, I don't know how many households. I check websites like the Palm Coast, Chamber of Commerce, Flagler County, the Library, Flagler County Schools, to just find out what the heck's going on around here. So...
Well, I think you have to look at the Observer. The Observer is a newspaper that is a profit, for-profit newspaper, and they're going to produce enough papers with enough advertisers to make a profit. And when they can't make a profit, they're not going to produce any more papers. They're not going to deliver 200 papers to your condominium complex and walk back and 100 of them still sitting there. I mean, that doesn't make sense. I mean, they drop them off at our real estate office over in Hammock, and we probably throw away 25 or 30 every week because somebody doesn't pick those up. Well, so I can understand where they're coming from.
Oh, I understand fully. But I also understand if we pay to advertise and it's not getting distributed, people that are paying are not... In other words, they need to look at their distribution. If some are getting thrown away and some are not getting enough, whose problem is that?
Well, they're not going to know that unless somebody tells them. And if you told them there wasn't enough at your condominium complex, then they're going to bring more. And if those 60 are gone in a short period of time, if you call them, they probably bring 75 or 100.
Yeah.
And until they kind of know the number. But it's just like in my development, they come in and they throw the newspaper in the driveways. I walk around later and I pick up probably a dozen of them and throw them in the garbage because I don't want them sitting out there all day. I'm the president of the association, so that's just something I do. Later in the evening when they've been sitting there all day and the sun's baked them and I know nobody's going to pick them up or the car's grilling all of them three or four times. So everybody doesn't look at it. You know, what they're trying to do is, I think, play numbers, and they've got so many and they try to distribute them where they think people will pick them up. I don't think there's any, unless you're paying for it, there's no real good answer to the Observer. Now, I take the Daytona Rag 7 days a week.
So I'm
one of those few people. I mean, first thing in the morning, I get up at 6
Me
o'clock,
too.
I get my cup of coffee, and I read the newspaper.
That's
exactly what I do every morning. And my wife's still sleeping. But, you know, that's just me. I like reading the newspaper. I also watch TV. I don't watch as much TV as I read the newspaper. I look at the Observer when it comes out because it has a lot of more local stuff than the Daytona does.
Mm-hmm.
Quite candidly, if they didn't put it in my driveway, I probably wouldn't read the Observer.
Well, so that doesn't seem like a good business decision, does it? I mean, if papers are getting thrown out and people don't want them, it seems that they could advertise more bang for their buck if the Observer was in the hand of everybody. Everyone that wanted one had it in their hand, and that knows that didn't have it would throw it away. I don't know how to solve the problem, but...
There is no simple way to solve the problem because you don't know who's going to do what.
Right.
You try to distribute it in the areas where you think you're going to get the biggest bang for your dollar, or the most people are going to read it. But there is no perfect system unless somebody is giving you money for that and you know they're going to read it when you're paying for it.
So the people who have driveways, everybody gets one. We have 200 units in our condominium. Why don't we get 200 papers?
Well, not everybody gets one because I think they don't go to all areas of town, I don't think. I think they only go to certain
areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Eleanor.
Well,
I think apropos, I think what you're saying is very worthwhile, but I think what was said is a very important factor. That's not, that magazine or the newspaper, if you want to call it, I like to call it a magazine, because that's for profit. And my husband is an advertising chief,
mm-hmm.
and we get advertising on our group never misses. He never misses the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
At the meetings, all the things that we are doing are noted, and it is appropriate. for our particular little area. And one of the things that I think happened, although I haven't spoken with them, because somebody mentioned, how come your husband is always there with our activities? And the truth of the matter is, I don't want him to get conceited, but it is truthful that he always makes sure that if something is happening, if it's a charity, if we've made a lot of money for Thanksgiving, then it appears. So I think the gentleman who, and I haven't said this, this is just my feeling, that I think the gentleman is in it to make money. It has expanded. Everybody I know who owns a home looks at the real estate section and looks categorically about how the real estate houses are doing in a variety. That has a broad-based interest. And I think one of the things that what you're probably saying is that he may be ignoring a broad-based interest, because I know that in some of the condos, there is a newsletter. And so maybe if you wanted to broaden your base, and he could see it as a profit-making or a public service of importance, you could work with a larger base, because I agree. I hate to see the Observer lying around in places that nobody's picked them up, because the man is wasting his money. However, I don't know if it's true, because I'm not in a position to make an authoritative statement, but he's doing very well, according to some people who have spoken about it, and he's doing very well because he's put his finger on what a very broad-based group of people are interested in. They're members of clubs, they do charitable organizations or have dances, and they also are very interested, and I think this is where perhaps we're missing the boat. I think most of the condo associations have their little newsletter. Well, along with that, may get it in and get what's going on.
I understand what you're all saying. And that's not my issue.
Right.
My issue is, I don't care how people get, I do care. The goal is for people who want to do things that they have easy access to it. And that can be computer. And for those that don't have a computer, I went to the library today and I couldn't find a piece of paper to bring home. And I don't know how to solve this problem. I don't know if anybody else sees it as a problem. I don't think it's apathy. I think it's resignation. It's like, oh, I don't get it. I don't, you know, I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to go driving around to pick up the penny saver. Well, we get the penny saver. Actually, we do have enough of those. But I don't know if you agree with me that we could, I don't know if everybody in this community is happy. I don't know if there's enough Tai Chi classes. I don't know if there's, you know, there's just pickleball has been going around for years. We just got it. And there are other things that
just came here. I mean, pickleball is like platform and different things. In different parts of the country, these things take off, and then they gravitate to other areas. And it's a slow process. It doesn't happen overnight. Down here, we don't have platform tennis. There's one court up in St. Augustine. I played there one time. It's a game that's really played in cold weather. It's a wonderful game. You got to have cold weather because of the equipment that you play with. And it's a small tennis, you know, if you know what platform is, it's like a chicken coop wire around a small tennis court, and it's played with paddles and a sponge ball. In the summertime, the sponge ball is so lively, you can't control it.
Okay, but that wasn't my point, because I don't want to take so much time.
But you get penny saver, and I don't.
I want to be a problem solver. I want to say, you know, sometimes when it's between A and B, choose C. Sometimes you have to do something new. We have technology, and more seniors are having it. And if they can't get it that way, how can people get information?
Well,
if I could just interject, because, yeah, we ask ourselves that question every single day, quite honestly.
What's the community center? It's wonderful, but I never came. I've lived here 4 years. I never stepped in the door.
And there's still, and I could tell you, I've worked in places that people have lived in the community for 20, 25 years, and they had no knowledge that they had all these parks in their community. So it is an ongoing problem with how do you get the information to the people that live in your community to make them aware of everything that's going on and what they have access to. And I wish I had a great answer for you.
You don't think the website would do it?
Honestly, if we have a website. We have our website.
No, and, that's my point.
Yeah, let me finish and get there. The problem with on our website, we actually did our community calendar that you'll see on there. And the whole intent of that community calendar when we started it was for us to try to be that resource for events and stuff that are going on in our community. And we would post it on there and try to have it be an as all-inclusive as we could probably get it. The problem with that is that not all the organizations would send you their information. And I used to put a lot of the events on there. And I would go through the Observer, and I would look at other people's websites and pull information from those locations and put it on our community calendar. But I could tell you what, I could spend every day, all day doing that and do nothing else.
Okay, could I suggest what my suggestion mm-hmm. would be? Mm-hmm. Is first it's collecting data, having someone develop a website, and then every day at the end of the month, you have to get people will want to be on there.
Well, we have it now on our community calendar that, say, you know, Bob is with the, you know, Pickleball Players of America, and they have a big event coming up, and they want to post it on our website. They could actually go in there and do it themselves.
Okay, but, okay, what my suggestion is for every organization in town to be sent an email at the end of the month, and they can send it back if they've got an event, and if not, they don't. But it takes data collecting. I know I've done this before because I created a magazine in D.C. for singles, and I had to get all the singles activity in the Baltimore and Washington area. That takes a lot of work. But once you get it and you organize it and then you send an email out once a month, if they want their thing advertised, they'll send it back. If not, they don't. But it's not, I've looked at the website. None of the websites are inclusive.
No,
and they're
absolutely
also pretty,
not. Yeah.
Which is, you know, a graphic thing. You get graphics and you make it pretty. All I want is something easy to find.
Right. And trust me, we have talked about this a lot. And our mayor actually just recently brought it up at one of our recent city councils.
Oh, I know. That's the thing. It's quality of life,
absolutely,
number one.
Right.
How do we know what seniors want?
Right.
I had that, too. I left it home.
Yeah. So, you know, the honestly, we could talk about this forever. And what we try to do, and I could tell you from our perspective, and we did start our community calendar here, our city website community calendar, with the intent of trying to be that all-inclusive site. We did put forth the effort at the time to try to reach the groups and say, hey, send us your information. We'll be happy to post it on our website. But I could tell you, you know, after doing it myself, not getting responses back from people, pulling the information myself, it takes an exorbitant amount of time to be that all-inclusive, where we would literally, honestly, have to hire somebody whose job that was just their job. And
yes,
yeah,
maybe. Yes.
Absolutely. And at this point, you know, it is budget season, so you know it would be the appropriate time to ask, but you would have to spend the money in order to have that resource available. So, you know, our goal is, you know, really, and we talk about it all the time, is how do we get the word out to people to let them know these activities are going on? And we know there's not we know that one resource isn't going to be the be-all, end-all. Even if we had an all-inclusive calendar, there are going to be a vast majority of people, or not maybe a majority, but a vast number of people who aren't going to look there. That's not going to be their resource. there's going to be a group of people that they're not going to look at the observer, even if it is in their driveway. So we know it's not a one-source, be-all, end-all. So we try to, okay, if we have a youth program, well, we know our best resource is to send that flyer right through the schools and let the kids take it home, and hopefully the parents get it out of the backpack and they see those kids' activities. We know the adult activities, probably if we had an ad in the paper, it may be looked at more by the adults because they're going to be the ones that are actually reading it.
I am convinced, and I just wanted to bring it up. If they don't know it's there and you've tried to solve the problem, it just means that people aren't going to think there's anything, you know, if people don't have access or don't want to come. Maybe they don't want anything. You've done everything you can.
Well, I don't think that's the answer at all. I think it's just, you know, we're still trying to figure it out. We know that when we do a trip, our best resources to send that information out is through the Penny Saver and our Coffee News, and our own internal newsletter that we send to people who have registered with us and give us their email address. Because, you know, like, you should be getting an email for our newsletter the next time it goes out if we have your email address, because you've registered for a program with us. So, you know, we try to do that monthly with the most recent information that's coming up. But we also know, too, that, you know, if people are getting too much of that, what they might consider, you know, junk email, yeah, they're not going to look at it.
Please understand me, it's bigger than Rectum Park. Oh. It has to do with churches and all kinds of organizations and everything in one place.
Right.
And it's just, I've seen the Rectum Park. It's a very nice website, but it lists Rectum Park
right.
and a couple other things. And there's so many things that people want to know,
right.
like book clubs.
Right.
Like Zumba, whatever,
right.
And I don't want to take any more time because I'm hearing that it's a waste of time. That people will come if they come, and if they don't, they don't.
I don't think, you know,
I understand what you're saying. You don't have to
convince them. I probably didn't direct what I was trying to say. There is a certain specificity of interest when you look at a cross section of people, and I don't know this data. I'm sure somebody has it. But when somebody moves in to a place, I can only speak for myself and my friends, I do not want to be faced with an encyclopedia of everything that is available. I think, let me just finish and then I'll... All right. You can organize information on the basis of age, of physical activity, et cetera. Now, it would seem to me that you wouldn't give up, because most of the people I know are not sitting at home all the time, if they can avoid it. But people come here generally not with their first home. They come with a bundle of interests. And one of the things I think that you have is a very interesting concept, but I would think that very soon you could categorize and you can say, okay, because I know I don't like to look at a column, you know, I have what I want to see. And then occasionally I like a thing like, did you know? I think that's a nice aspect that I didn't know. I want to ask about. Did you know, I wanted to ask about the dog cemetery. Mm-hmm. We would start
okay,
with
but did you notice what I said? The
I
name
did.
Of the events, a phone number, contact, and a website. Take one line.
I know that, but what I'm saying to you is I question, okay? I mean, I think it'd be worth the experiment if people wanted to volunteer, but my interest, I have to go toward what I am interested in. I think that if you chat blurbs, and let's just say you had a did you know section. I'm very interested in pets and sort of did you know. Then rather than saying you're going to every day make sure that you get everything, because there are thousands of things. I know, I think I understand what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, and I'm hearing no.
I think it's all or nothing. I'm saying everything or just do it the way it's done. And it apparently it's working for everybody, and we can't do it in an all-inclusive way, so we can't do it.
No, I don't think that. You can't have a compromise and say this is an experiment, and it would be interesting to see, do a count of how many people think you found out about the trip. You found out about your trip.
Because I came here for the first time to come to this meeting. I never come in this building. I never knew anything was up. I'm not going to drive to the library to look on the board. I'm not going to go to public. I'm just not going to do it.
So how about if you publicize that on the board here, there are papers. Did you know that there are a number of papers publicizing certain things? That you want a whole encyclopedia set?
No, no. I don't say encyclopedia. I'm saying one line.
Well, one line.
Well, you want one resource for all. That's all inclusive of everything that's
simple,
going on.
Simple, with no description, just the contact name.
Anything's possible. All it takes is time and money.
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly right.
And I really, you don't have to convince me anymore. I understand what you're saying. As I said, I'm new, and I'm just trying to find out.
Well, and I guess what I want, you know, everybody to leave with is the fact that we've tried. We try a variety of different advertising methods to see, and I can speak with, I think, some authority in this area that there is no one be-all, end-all. Even if you had a site that had all that, you would still have people that would not go to that site because they don't go on a computer. So there's never going to be that one resource that's going to appease everybody, I guess was what the point I was trying to make. So I know for ourselves, we know that. So we do a variety of different areas, hoping that, you know, if you're not the type of person that goes on the computer, well, then we have the newspaper, and hopefully you're a person that looks at the newspaper, or you're a person that looks at the coffee news, or you're a person that goes into Publix and reads the flyers on the wall, because those are all the different avenues that we use to try to get the word out there. How effective it is, you know, we ask people when they register a lot of times is, how did you hear? Or at our events, we'll ask them, how did you hear about this event? You know, was it on the radio? Was it in the newspaper? Trying to figure out how are people getting their information. And it runs the gamut every single time. There's never... probably the best is still the newspaper, believe it or not, or Facebook seems to be like the two main resources that we get the feedback on from people, that that's how they're getting or learning about information, or word of mouth. You know, so it's very hard to try to figure
no, I
really it out.
Have, I understand. So, I mean,
but I want to get to your other of how do we know about what people want in the community, too, because I think that's important also. So you all have an understanding of what we're trying to do. And if you have a suggestion for a better way to do it, or part of what we're hoping you all will do at events is to be our survey people and to ask those questions. And this is how we want to involve you all in the process.
Quite frankly, I really think it should be Flagler County, but I'm on this committee. This really should be a Flagler County website.
And that could be, you know, but
I brought it here, and so I'm convinced that everything's being done that can be done. So.
But I don't think so. I mean, I want to address
Flagler
that.
Flagler County would be able to do something.
And they may be able to pull some information together, but part of what this board and what the intent of this board was is when we have events, because we do surveys at our events, you know, we try to find out, you know, how did you hear about this event, where are you from, what other types of events or activities would you like to see in the community, those types of things. And we try to do that with every event that we have, along with some of the programs that we host here. Or when we're out at other locations, like if we go to First Friday or other events, that we set up a booth. And the whole reason we do that is try to ask those questions, exactly what you were saying was, how do we know that there's enough senior programs
here. Well, we don't think there is, but we'd also want to know what other types of programs do seniors want to participate in. The only way we could find that out is by asking. And so that is one of the ways that we try to do it. And then we look at those evaluations and say, you know, a lot of people are asking for such and such. We need to look in and see if we can make this happen. Same with toddler programs, youth programs, teen programs, all of that. And this is where this board can help us try to gather some of that information, and which is really what we've been trying to encourage you all to participate in, is to be that, you know, we have our international festival coming up. Well, can you spend 1 hour at that event surveying people as they're coming in and out of the event to see if they'll fill out this survey to answer those questions? And that's how we're going to gather that information and maybe bring in some new programs and have a better understanding of what people want in the community. And we're all working on that together. So I hope that helps. At least give you a better understanding of what we're trying to do here on and on our part to make it better and to get the word out there better. So.
I think we understand what you're doing.
Yep.
I don't think anybody would disagree with your thoughts. Yeah. You know, and then you look at Flagler County, you look at Flagler Beach, you look at Palm Coast, you've got three different,
It should be Flagler County, really.
But Flagler County is not going to do it. Flagler County, you know, all of these entities are entities. They work together to some degree, but there's always a separation. It has been since I've been here for 16 years, and that's why Palm Coast is a city, because we couldn't get anything out of Flagler County. We're not controlling our own destiny, and that's why you're now in the city of Palm Coast. It's always been a little bit of a headbutting going on. It's right, wrong, or indifferent. It just happens that way. But it's gotten better. I think we've had some crossover. And I think that this is something that, you're right, might be taken to the county, and you might get more, they might listen more, because the county has more money than the city. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't guess that. But, also keep in mind, if you we want to hear from the public. I mean, a lot of the programs that we're holding right now is because somebody said to us, you know, I'd like to do this. And so we try to make it happen, you know. And so that, you know, that is always a way that we look at trying to develop new programs. So if you hear people in the community saying, you know, I think we need to do this, well, certainly, you know, make sure you reach out and call us, and we'll, you know, if it's something that we can possibly do and make happen, then we want to make sure we're addressing the needs of the community.
Our city has come a long ways. It really has. From my infancy, into all of the things we have here, all the bicycle trails, the golf facilities, the tennis facilities. You know, and it's always somebody's going to criticize something. I don't care what you do, because they don't do that, so they don't like it. But this city has come a long ways providing services for all of us, and all of us as seniors anymore. You know, I can't go to the restroom and say, oh, look at those old people over there.
Right.
My wife and I look at each other and say, we are those old people.
But it can always be better.
That's absolutely the point.
You should not say, oh, well, I've heard you. Because you haven't. We've had an open discussion.
Right.
But obviously, we're not getting everybody. Uh-uh. And so each one of us openly may feel that they have the answer, but it always can be better.
Yeah.
And you're new, and your insights may be very helpful, because as you say, as you get older, you get more entrenched. But did you know is a big word for me, and I was just discussing this with my husband. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So what you're trying to do is express your frustration at not being able to easily find out.
And this was my idea, but it's really, I knew at the same time that it really should be Flagler County. We're just the largest area, but it's people from Flagler County can come in here. Activities outside of Palm Coast that
people from Palm Coast would be interested in.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, if we could figure out how to do that, I would love to have that one source of information to point people to and say, everything you want to know is here. It just hasn't been able to happen for whatever, a multitude of reasons. You know, you don't get the participation by the groups who are doing the events or the businesses that may be holding. You know, there's a yoga studio, you know. Well, if they're not going to tap into it, then, you know, you're going to miss yoga, you know. And so it's trying to get everybody to buy into that concept as well, and then somebody to manage it. And that's, you know, not... If we can make it happen, I think we would really try to do it. I don't think county, city, it doesn't really matter. It's how can we make it happen? And we've talked about it from the city side, too, is, okay, and which is why we started our community calendar, was to try to gather that information. We just need to figure out a better way to try to do it. And I don't have that answer for you, but I'm not going to give up on it either.
And that's what was, you know, in the article. I think it was Ness that said it, who he suggested a better calendar system for the public,
right,
one that could be available online or perhaps be posted strategically downtown, around town.
Yep.
Or one spot. Mm-hmm. But...
Yeah, it you know... And we've tried, because that article was when? How long ago was
about,
that?
About 2 years ago, a year and a half ago.
And we, you know, with our community calendar, like I said, that was really the reason why we started that. And it didn't work the way that we had thought it might. So trying to figure that out, we're still in that process. But I'm not going to give up on it, because I think there is a way we might be able to make that happen in the future. But I just can't tell you right now.
Okay, item number two on new business is discuss guidelines for the pet memorial program.
Well, this was mine. This, I think we talked about it a while back on this committee. We have the Heroes Memorial Park, which recognizes fallen soldiers, police, firefighters who have died in the line of service. We have our children's memorial garden that, you know, allows parents to place a memorial paver in honor of their children. We also do the memorial bench program that allows anybody to purchase a bench with memorial pavers to honor somebody within their family or you know, whoever that has passed away. We have been asked about a pet memorial, and would we consider a pet memorial somewhere within the city. And we briefly talked about it here a while back, but really didn't put anything together about it. But I think it might be time to revisit that, because we've been recently asked again by an individual who has lost their pet and you know, wants just a place to remember.
What's the downside? Why would we not do it?
I don't think there is a downside. It's just we need to develop some guidelines to do that.
Where would you do that?
Honestly, initially I was thinking of Linear Park, because there is a resident had purchased a watering station for pets in Linear Park at one of the pavilions, and there's a little plaque, you know, for their pet that recognizes that. But then somebody suggested our new dog park that we're putting in over at Holland, and doing like the small, the pavers, or the bricks that we do out at the Heroes Memorial. So those are two possible locations. And then we just need like just some general guidelines of what you all think would be appropriate, you know, for a dog memorial. You know we would do the bricks, you know, that size. And, you know, is there any limitations on what it says? You know, that kind of stuff. You know, what would the brick say? Three lines, you know, that general guidelines. Because we have it for each of the memorials that we already have. So, and those were basically established through Leisure Services for the other memorial programs that we have. So this is why it's coming before you all now, is to kind of think about that, and maybe for next meeting bring back some ideas for guidelines, you know, whether you look online to see what other people, and I honestly I can't speak to that now because I haven't researched it. But, you know, if you have any ideas or suggestions, and we'll put together some guidelines at our next meeting to kind of give us the general parameters. And then the more I think about it, I like the Holland Park location.
Yeah,
you know, with the new dog park, and that's something we can actually put the blank pavers in as they're doing the new walkway. So we could have them already there and then just kind of get one engraved and then pop it in. So that, to me, seems like that might be a good location.
What do we charge for the pavers?
We'll have to get the prices. That I don't know, because right now I do the larger ones for the Children's Memorial, and I have those prices, but I haven't done the bricks. Yeah, so I'll have to get the, and I'll bring that back for the next meeting. But I just wanted y'all to start thinking about it and bringing back your suggestions for the next meeting. So we can, and it doesn't have to be anything extensive, you know, it's just, you know, live in Palm Coast, you know, whatever it may be, you know, for that person who would be purchasing the memorial.
Okay. All right. Item number H is discussion of the committees, by the committees on of matters not on an agenda. I have one item. April 19th, the Palm Coast Arts Association, not Arts Foundation, held their annual Jacksonville Symphony, and because of we thought the Central Park was going to be too wet, we moved it down to the destination Daytona, and I think it was a good move. And we had an event called Raise the Roof. We raised $7,000, plus we got a $150,000 grant from the state, and we're going to start putting up the new pavilion next month. That's phase one. After phase one gets done, then we start on the actual performing arts building. But if anybody missed it, we had about 850 people there, even if we changed the location, and it was very interesting.
Let me ask a question. Why did we have to, did you have to move it to Daytona? There wasn't any place locally you could have gone?
No. There wasn't a place around. It was too early of a, the notice was that we were going to cancel. Was not enough time to investigate different places. But if you ever went down to that pavilion, that was the place to go. And that's the kind of pavilion that we're going to start putting up. Matter of fact, if you know where Central Park is, the fountain across from the hospital, we got 13 acres of land there in the city that we rented. And
I just hate to see anything from Telegram County go down to Volusia County.
Yeah.
I really do. I hate to see our high school students have graduations in Volusia County. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, we'll be able to have graduations in the Arts Center. Because it's going to hold like 2,500 people.
Can you do it in the auditorium? Is it possible to do graduations in the auditorium? We have a.
Yeah, I don't know. Cause
why would they be
high school auditorium?
High school, the Flagler auditorium.
I'm talking about when they have their after the graduation ceremonies, all the functions are always down in Daytona. So the kids are in cars driving.
Oh, you mean for the parties?
Yeah, I think even the ceremony they had down there too.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's something. I don't see
Ocean Center. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or up in St. Augustine at the amphitheater.
Yeah.
Since I've been here, they've been held at both of those locations in the graduations. So, yeah, which is unfortunate. We want them to stay right here.
Okay.
That's right.
Any other discussions by the committee on matters not on the agenda?
No, sir.
Okay, public participation, we have to skip that. Next meeting is going to be
July will be your next meeting, the second Wednesday of July. And I don't have the date, but it's the second Wednesday.
No meeting in June?
No, or every other month.
Okay. How about the summer months?
We'll still meet in July because we are every other month. And July will be our workshop for the grant. So we'll probably do the grant workshop if Mary's available on the night of our meeting. If not, then we'll do it when she's available.
Okay.
It's the second Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be the ninth.
Okay, Mary is out of town that week. So we'll have our meeting on the 9th, and then our workshop will be later in the month.
Okay. Motion for adjournment.
Motion for adjournment.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I want to thank everybody for putting up with me.
Thank you, Jules, for chairing today.
We have the two people that are officers not being here.
Okay,
I had to step in.
Well, you did a good job.
Yeah, I second the motion that we adjourn.
Okay.
Okay.